hand. Raise your hand if you did not get a handout. Front row, over here. Ray, keep your hand high, and Randall will take care of you if you did not get a handout. And keep them raised, keep them raised. It's not that tough. Not tough, is it, ladies? It's not that tough. Keep them high, keep them high. And we're going to read the first 8 verses in Matthew 9, but what I've got is I have the 3 accounts this morning of the man sick of the palsy. Title of the message this morning, Man Sick of the Palsy, A Picture of the Gospel. Here's what I want you to do. And keep your hands raised, keep your hands raised, keep your hands raised. And it's a contest. Is it that tough? Is it that tough? You guys got to do some exercises. And we got, you get one, Clay? You got one? It's our ladies up front. So what I want, when we go through these 3 accounts, they're very, very similar. They're not as dramatically different, though. There are new insights which with each of the passages. I want you to think of, so the gospel is pictured and the means of taking the gospel are pictured in this great, great account of the compassion, the love, the healing of our Savior. Matthew chapter 9, you can just look on your handout if you want, and we're going to go through each of these passages. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 says this, and he, Jesus, entered into a ship. Let me just real quick, I'll tell you, this follows 2 weeks ago, so sometimes I don't have to give as much background. 2 weeks ago, it was the demoniac from Gadara. He was in the Decapolis, right? And so he did such a great work when Jesus came back. They were waiting for him. They told him to leave. They were waiting for him. So that was Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee to basically Jordan, modern-day Jordan, where the Decapolis is. And then he comes back. He comes back. He was in Gadara in Decapolis for a few days. And then he comes back. And when it says into his own city, that's not Nazareth, Jesus made Capernaum kind of his ministry headquarters. You'll see that explained in the gospel account of Luke. But when it says he came into his own city, he sort of made Capernaum kind of his headquarters that he would launch out his public ministry, the 3-year ministry that Jesus had. So Matthew chapter 9, verse 1, I won't make your heads go up and down. I'll try not to. Verse 1, he says, and he, Jesus, entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier, to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Now just a second passage, Mark chapter 2. And again, he, Jesus, entered into Capernaum, that would be his own city, after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. Verse 3, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. No, he wasn't one of a quadruplets. Born, he was carried of 4. So that's an old English word. He was carried of 4 men. 4 men had to carry him there. So verse 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, so they couldn't get to Jesus, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. And then the final time, that this is good for you, you'll kind of begin to understand the story. In Luke chapter 5, it says this, verse 18. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house. And this is one that's new. This man went glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Again, title of the message, Man Sick of the Palsy, a picture of the gospel. Now, before you think that palsy is just some ancient word, it's still used in medicine today. How many of you ever heard of Bell's palsy? Bell's palsy. Bell's palsy is far more serious than I let on years ago. I had a friend, this is how terrible your pastor is. I had a friend that had Bell's palsy, and I understood that it was temporary. It's not always temporary. Well, I mean, he basically lost control of half his face. And I wasn't considered a friend after just a couple of weeks. So, you know, I mean, but it is, you lose control. It's paralysis. Now, this man, likely the way he's described, had paralysis throughout his body where you lose feeling and lose control of your body. And so many times those that are just beset with palsy throughout their body, your body will just do things. It'll shake uncontrollably. You can't control your body, and it's a very serious thing. And so these people brought this man to him. There's basically three groups I want us to look at today. I want us to see the gospel. I want us to see the gospel and the means to take the gospel are in this story, and it's fantastic. Kind of the three groups are first the man, the sick man, then his friends, and then Jesus. I want us to see all three of these in this story and begin to better understand this. First, when you think of the man, I want you to understand this. That man spiritually represents every single person before we are saved. Every single person. And so not everybody in this room is born again. Not everybody in this room is a true follower of Christ. This man was incapable of helping himself. He could not get to Jesus. He had to have others bring him to Jesus. I want you to understand this. It is, it's the heart of the command for you and I. We say, I love Jesus. You say, Jesus is mine. The next question is, who are you bringing to Jesus? They're incapable. The Bible says, no man seeketh after God. The Bible says, no man understandeth. I praise the Lord that God seeks them, and he uses people like us to bring others to Christ. This man was incapable. He couldn't move himself. He had to have others bring him to Jesus. Second thing I want you to see is, he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that, and you'll say, how do you know that? It doesn't say, it just says they had faith. Was it just faith that Jesus could heal them? No, I will tell you this. When Jesus looked upon him, and he looked upon the specific man, he looked upon the man that was sick, the man that was paralyzed, and he looked at him, he said, Man, thy sins be forgiven thee. And I want you to understand this. Forgiveness only comes by faith, by repenting of your sins and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just listen to a few verses. It says here in Acts 10:42, speaking of Jesus, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. I remind you, most of you know this, But true salvation, true biblical salvation, is very narrow. And when people understand it, it's very offensive. We don't try to be offensive, but I'm not worried about offending someone. They're dying and going to hell. I'm going to interact with Muslims, and I'll tell them in the nicest way, what you believe will damn your soul. And there's way nicer ways to say it than that. You know, we talked Wednesday about truth being wrapped in mercy. But I want you to understand this. We need to speak the truth in love. Just letting people on their own would be like letting this man sick of the palsy on his own, and he was incapable to come to Jesus. Who are you bringing to Jesus? But here's what I love. This man, I am convinced, the only way Jesus can forgive sins is when you truly believe on his name. And you truly believe in him, in who he is, and his sacrifice for you. It says in Colossians 1:14, speaking of Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This man was incapable of helping himself. He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to show you this. He was radically changed. I want us to really grasp this. Those of you that are in the medical field, you probably grasp it way better than me. I never thought about being in the medical field. And, for a multitude of reasons, but not the least of which is no one has ever accused me of being, what's the famous nurse lady? Florence Nightingale. That's not going to be on my tombstone. The male Florence Nightingale, right? So it is, she was known for her mercy, her kindness, and her love. But understand this. This man was completely paralyzed, and when Jesus said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk," he didn't have to go to therapy. They didn't say, "Well, Lord, there's no room down, and the best physical therapist isn't here." Immediately, boom, the atrophied tendons and ligaments and muscles, they were there. I will tell you this. There was probably nobody in better physical shape than this man when Jesus healed him, right? When Jesus made grape juice, that's the water to wine, we can have that discussion. There's no better grape juice ever tasted in the history of mankind other than the grape juice Jesus made, right? And when Jesus heals, I don't think he half did it. I think this guy was feeling like Adam. Whoa! You know, we have been going down from Adam, not up. So it is, we don't even understand how physically fit and healthy Adam was. But it's when Jesus saves, it's all brand new. Radical change. Now, I want to help you with this because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, behold, all things become new. He's a new creature. All things become new. There is a process. But I will tell you this. When you're truly saved, your desires change. Your allegiance changes. And yes, you are a baby. But everything you say this. There is one person that I live for. And one person that I want to get the okay for my day. You know, I mean, I jokingly got the okay for my wife. I trust her judgment when it comes to singing. I don't want to overburden you. But I'll tell you this, every day I should look at the Lord and say, is this okay? Lord, here's my calendar for the day. I plan on spending my time this way. Do you have any other plans? And you see, because he's my master. I used the word master the other day, and I don't say that. You know, I want to tell you this, he's the only one. You know, the Bible calls those that are followers of Jesus bond slaves, but he's a good master. I want you to understand, all the slavery in mankind was evil and wrong. But I am glad that he's my master, that he is the only one that I should give allegiance to, the only one I should listen to, and he, if you're saved, he's the one that changes you. So many people get this wrong. They think they have to do things in order to prepare themselves for Christ. You know what you need to do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand that he is truly God, that he's the only one that took your place, could take your eternal punishment, that he died and that he rose again, and by conquering the grave, he can give you eternal life. Understand this. Only Christ, but he changes you, and it's radical. It is radical. See, salvation, faith, people can't accept the simplicity of it. You mean I just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah. But understand this. The Bible says that you will suffer because of it. But understand this, it's simple but radical. This man was radically changed. Boom, he popped up. Boom, grabbed his bed. Do you love that? I love the word. It's just another word for bed. But do you get a different image in Luke when it says his couch? You know, I was thinking love seat, or was this a, you know, but it's it was still his bed, so he's able to pick it up, right? So, and he, either that or when Jesus healed him, it was like, you know, he became a mover then. I don't know, but he was incapable of helping himself. He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I want you to see this. I mentioned this in Luke chapter 5. You'll see that he glorified God. You see, if you are saved, there is one purpose and only one purpose of your life and my life. My purpose in life is not to be a preacher, not to be a pastor. That is not my purpose. It may be something God wants me to do, but it's not the purpose. The purpose is to glorify Him. Because if the only way to glorify God is to be a pastor, too bad, so sad, you're hosed. But it's not, oh Christian, how are you glorifying God? You know how he did? He went and told everybody. He's carrying his bed, and when they said, what in the world happened to you? Then he told them, and I'll guarantee you this guy told people that didn't ask. Because he was excited about the one that healed him. And I love this. He was willing to believe whether he was healed or not. His faith was in Christ when he came into that room, when they let him down into the roof. And Jesus says, thy sins be forgiven thee. The sick man represents us. Are you truly saved this morning? If you're truly saved, then I will tell you this. I think we will behave like the friends. The friends had great confidence in Christ. And why I say that is, you got to understand, it's if someone, all of a sudden, you hear, shing, 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 look, I don't have the Spirit of Christ. I need the Spirit of Christ. I would not be happy. I would say, stop, you know, and then they, or, you know, and we would be nervous. Would you not be nervous? Now, I'm not saying they saw it because there was tiles. They removed the tiles. But my first thing is, you going to pay for this? And but you got to understand their confidence in Christ. This was borderline rude, right? This was like, you're interrupting the Master. You're interrupting the Savior. Who do you think you are? You don't think there are other people out there that need healing? Would you just wait in line? Jesus didn't get bothered. You see, he was so predictable. They knew this. They knew one thing about Jesus, that he loved people. There was no rebuke that came out of Jesus' lips. No thought of rebuke. I'll guarantee you they fixed the roof. They took care of it. I'll guarantee you this. Nobody was thinking about the roof in just a few minutes. Right? But I want to tell you this. This is the key. You see, we've been listening to Moses in Sunday school, and Moses is just like us. I don't think we're just like Moses, because I wish we were. But he's like, he gave God all the reasons. Here's why this is a bad choice. I can't be your man. The only way you'll truly obey Christ is if you love him and your confidence is in him. If you start thinking about you, you won't do it. But I'll tell you this, they had confidence in Christ. They knew that he was a God of love. He was a God of mercy. And he was a God of compassion. Remember this, compassion leads to action. Do you have compassion on others? Who are you bringing to Christ? But I will tell you this, it all has to do with this. It's confidence in Christ. God blessed. We had a Bible study, Juan, Trish, and I, and I love Juan and Trish, and you just never know how Bible study is going to go, right? And my typical, the way I operate is when I go to a door, I usually instruct people, I say, only one person talks. Just to have focus, right? And so I kind of got my way, right? And so I wasn't worrying about it, but I was nervous. I was nervous. Here we're going to have, you know, a bilingual Bible study, and I won't have a clue what's being said when it's lingual. So here we are, we're having this Bible study, and you know what I had to do? I just had to let go and say, Lord, I'm trusting in you. You love this family more than we do. Oh, Father, I pray that you'll bless. And he blessed beyond measure. If I got to pick the Bible study, I just wanted mom and dad. We had 5 kids join us. You know, I can get kids to obey. The ladies are doing awesome today, and man. And so it is, but I want kids. I love our kids. Do you feel loved? Do you feel loved? I hope you do. Or just you know you're loved. The feeling may not come as clear, right? And hug my wife for me, just not me. And Mallory's the only one that's allowed to. She has not forgotten. She's the only one in this church that has remembered Slater's lie. And so Mallory gives me a hug every week and doesn't forget it. You pray for her that she'll... No, I got to be... Anyway, the Bible study was fantastic, and it was only the Lord. And it just flowed. It flowed. It wasn't awkward. It was. It just flowed, and that's only the Lord. I'm going to tell you this. When you try to reach people for Jesus Christ, you're going to have a million reasons why you're not the right person, why you can just blow it, and you know what? Get your eyes off of you and put them on Christ and have your confidence in Christ. Jesus saved us so that we would bring others to him. Who are you bringing to him? They had confidence in Christ. They cared for someone other than themselves. 4 guys carried this bed who knows how long. I ask you, who are you caring for that's not related to you? And God expects, and you will reach your family. And as well, you should. You should. It's the first thing a new saved person thinks about. The first thing. Boom. My brothers, my sisters, my mom, my dad, my uncle, my aunts, my cousins. But I ask you, they cared for someone other than themselves. They were driven. They were driven. No obstacles would deter them. I mean, because this is my personality. You may not believe this. I'm always looking for an excuse. And it's like, oh, we tried, my friend, but it's too crowded. And so they were driven. They said, no, we're going to get you to Jesus. I want you to understand this. When you try to bring people to Jesus, the devil's going to put a million obstacles in front of you. It just might mean somebody else's words just to deter you from the gospel. But I'll tell you this. Don't be surprised when you see obstacles. Right? I was surprised there were no obstacles that I knew of Friday night. God could just be super gracious, but I expect them in weeks to come. You know, but you know what? We should not be discouraged. We're in a battle, are we not? The devil hates every single person in this room and every single person that's not in this room. He doesn't want one person to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Expect a battle. Expect some obstacles. And be encouraged. You know, there's 2 ways to look at obstacles. To go, oh, I quit. Or to go, whoa, there must be something to fight over here. Because there are obstacles. You see, if you're in a battle, there's going to be some skirmishes. They were driven. I love they were creative. They let the man down through the roof. And, you know, I mean, where'd they get the rope? I mean, do you think they actually planned on it? I mean, how do they let the bed down, you know? I mean, this guy is so glad that I wasn't letting the bed down. I am so not mechanically minded. At least he couldn't feel anything, but like, oh, Lord, healing. And he's dead, raising from the dead. And, but these guys, you know, maybe they were engineers, I don't know, but they lowered him down. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly how. They removed the tiles. And if you saw, so this property, these buildings were built in 3 stages. So the guys that have gotten up into the attic, they're like, man, who did this hole? I did, you know, because they built over it and there was just a roof and I needed to get into the attic and I had a circular saw with me. Probably not, and I just, you know, and it's, you can get into the attic, can you not? Yes, you can. But if we ever have to expose that roof ever again, we're in trouble. And but they were creative. I want you to know this. You don't have to do it my way. I love Trish. We met here before we went to the Bible study on Friday. And it's just good. Trish asked a great question. She goes, and how will we get to know one another? I was kind of embarrassed. I said, that is a great thought. And I thought, I'm going to teach the Bible. And so my experience is, I'll get to know you as I teach you the Bible, right? And that does happen, but I thought it was great, right? And so I was like, oh, it's kind of embarrassing. And I thought, oh, well, you mean that relationship thing? Oh, okay. But it's important, right? And Juan and Trish need to be Juan and Trish. You can't be Steve. You don't want to be Steve. Be creative. Do you sit around and think about ways how you can reach people for Christ, how you can get people to Jesus Christ? I hope you do. Apparently these four did, and they were creative. And then what I love is they were risk takers. I mean, maybe they knew the guy that they, maybe they were roofers. I don't know. But they took somebody's roof apart, and it doesn't look like they got permission. They took somebody's roof apart, and you know this? They were willing to be the fool. Jesus was not obligated to heal this guy. Oh, you goofball. You ruined somebody's roof. You embarrassed this guy, and Jesus didn't heal him. He left many cities, and he didn't heal everyone. They were willing to be the fool. You see, that's what keeps us from extending ourselves and really just putting ourselves out there, because we worry too much about what we'll look like, what people will think about us. You know what? If we are thinking right, there's only one person that matters what he thinks about me, and that's Jesus. Look, we ought to be kind. We ought to be nice. We ought to be gentle. We ought to understand the cultural differences. We ought to understand, you know, we ought to be as versed as we can how to best reach people for Christ. But at the end of the day, it's this. You know what I need? I don't need more methods. I need God. And so I'm all for being creative. I'm all for being driven. I'm all for taking risks. I just need God. That's what we need. I want you to understand this. It is. Now, you need to go prepared. I'm not asking for no preparation. You need to be prepared, but I just tell you this. Don't worry about what people think of you. Represent the Lord properly, but people will think you're a moron if you really love Jesus. They'll think you're crazy if you believe this book is perfect. You must understand this. If I was lost and I said, God became a man, he was born of a virgin, and he came and lived a perfect life, and he was so perfect that everyone hated him and crucified him, that sounds crazy. But it's absolute truth when you understand it. And so I want you to do this. Don't worry about it. The most glorious thing is this. When you see God working, I've mentioned this before. Sarah, if I'm okay, you can tell me later that it's not, then I'll race it. But before Sarah was saved, Madison trusted in Christ, and I think this is glorious. Don't be embarrassed about this, okay? But Sarah would say things to Madison. Madison would say, well, let's pray before we eat. And Sarah would go, well, that's stupid. Maybe not that bluntly. Was it that bluntly? No, it was nicer than that. Okay, but this is the Steve Hall version. It sounds better. Well, that's dumb, stupid, no. But she said, nobody's going to hear you. Why are you praying? But it's foolishness until you believe. And then it's the power of God unto salvation when you believe. I will tell you, I love the story because it's exactly what people that don't know Christ think. But when he saves you, it's a 180. There's nothing better to do than to pray. Are you willing to take risks and be willing to be the fool for Jesus? The average Christian in America is not. The problem with America is not the Democrats, the Republicans, or the liberals, or the conservatives, or it's not even Hollywood, it's not the media, it's Christians. I will tell you, I still believe that we can be part of a revolution. 12 men turned the world upside down. I still believe. I believe the Lord cares way more than we give him credit for. And I will tell you this, we need the power of God. We need to walk with God. We need to submit ourselves to God. We need to humble God. And we just need to take people to Jesus. Keep taking people to Jesus. He's the only hope for America. He's the only hope for you. He's the only hope for every single household, every single person in the world. There's nothing like him. Third thing I want you to see is I want you to see Jesus, and he is the star of every story. He should be the focus of every story. And I want you to notice, will you look at your you don't have two sheets. I have notes, but you have look at your verses. I want you to look at this in the middle section, Mark chapter 2. I want you to look at verse 2, and let's see what Jesus was doing before these guys, if you allow me, so rudely interrupted him. It said, "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive him, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them." And so you imagine this, if you haven't seen The Chosen, you should see The Chosen. It gives a great scene of the one that's sick of the palsy. And they lower him down, but they reasonably had the crowd outside the house, and there was a multitude, but what Jesus was doing, he was preaching the word unto them. And so when this man was lowered down, what I love is this: Jesus addressed the greatest need first, and that's the forgiveness of sins. He addressed forgiveness of sins. I want you to understand this. God cares about our physical ailments. Jesus delighted in healing people. So do not misunderstand me. But the greatest need for every single person in this room and every single person that you interact with is spiritual. When you go to the hospital, take the gospel with you. I mean, it's a tender environment. Some people might be upset. Take the gospel with you. Be loud, because usually it's older people and they can't hear that well anyway, and the echoes in the hallways of the hospitals. Trust me, I've gotten more responses from the people not in the room than I have in the room. And I'm not even trying to be loud, it's just a gift. But the forgiveness of sins is what people need. And you know what? I love what Jesus did. You know this? He just said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And I'll tell you this, that's better than being healed physically. And I think that man understood that, and he rejoiced over it. Do you understand this? This is a reverse of most of Jesus' healings. Do you understand this? Typically, he would heal, and then he would come back to the person, and he would share the gospel with them. Remember the man with the 38 years, that he was an impotent man, no power, and so 38 years, and Jesus heals him, and they said, "Who did this?" He goes, "I don't even know the guy's name," because he was so crowded, he kind of disappeared on him, and then the Bible says Jesus came back to him, and it's clear he preached the gospel, and it seems as though that man hadn't believed yet, because Jesus said this, "I want to tell you, if you don't believe," I'm paraphrasing, "then something worse than your 38-year infirmity will happen to you, and that is eternity, eternal damnation." I want you to understand this. When you see people, what's their greatest need? Forgiveness of sins. You know this? I love this. You ought to have compassion when you see somebody in a wheelchair. We don't have anybody in a wheelchair here this morning. That's a blessing of God. You ought to be tugged at your heartstrings. See a little child. Good friends that I worked with years ago, his son was just ravaged with physical ailments. His son was saved, though. But when you see people in a wheelchair, your heart ought to be tugged. When you see people that are struggling physically, but I'll tell you this, their greatest need is not to get out of that wheelchair. Their greatest need is to get rid of their sins. I want you to remember that. You see, true hope is not in this body. True hope is in Christ. And Jesus, he dealt with the spiritual before he dealt with the physical, and this is kind of the opposite of what he did. I love this, and I'm going to show you this. He healed for two primary reasons. When you have a story that, this is how I preach. So just, you haven't figured it out yet. But it is, when I see a story that's in three of the Gospels, I try to find things that are the same. Because if God thought it important enough to tell us the same thing three times, I think it's important. He only has to tell us once for it to be important. But he uses the exact same phrase three times. And here's why he did it. He says this, that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Now, I want to help you understand this. Is God still in the healing business? Yes, he is. Does God heal like he did when Jesus was here on earth? I don't see it. When Jesus was here, he healed so that they would believe that if you can do that, I can trust you eternally. That if you can heal that man, then you can remove my sins. I do believe you are God. I do believe you were sent by God. I do believe in you. I am trusting in you for my eternal life. If you can do that, I'll believe in you. I want you to understand this. God does heal today. I don't think he heals by all these healers you hear about. Because I will tell you this, it doesn't usually exalt Christ, it exalts those men, and usually their offerings go up. God heals. You don't need me to touch you. The Bible does talk about laying on of hands, and so I do believe it's not by my hands, it's just by the love, and Jesus loves touch. But I want to help you understand this. We're all going to die. Every single person that was healed died. For the wages of sin is death. And so I'm not surprised. We do pray for healing. We do pray for extended life. I think of your mom, right? And I think God has blessed versus what you guys thought about initially. And I want you to know this. He cares. And I love the stories. I have yet to meet your mom, which is probably so terrible. I should go meet her. But I've heard so many great things about your mom. And you know what? I will tell you this. I think he's given you hope because your mom will do what he wants, and that's to glorify God. It doesn't mean he has to heal her. It doesn't mean that everything's going to work out. I don't know that. But I will tell you this. Yes, he does care. But I'm not surprised that we don't see mass healings, because what we have is we have the Bible, and we preach Christ who was come to this earth, and he was crucified, buried, and he's risen again. That's the message. That's the attention. I don't want the attention on clearing hospitals. Jesus cleared hospitals. Jesus cleared cities because he wanted them to listen to his preaching, and he wanted them to know, yes, I am the Messiah. Yes, I am God. Yes, you can trust me, and yes, I can remove sins. And that's the issue. So he healed for two primary reasons. The second one, I mentioned this already, is the glory of God. It is, you'll see this in every one of the accounts, every one of the accounts. And look at the end of each account, the last verse in each account. Matthew chapter 9, verse 8, but when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Look at the verse 12 in Mark. And immediately he rose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed. And they glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. And look at verse 26 of Luke. He said, and they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things. I will tell you this. That's the goal of a Christian. That we will glorify God. That he'll use us in whatever way he needs to. Johnny Erickson Tada is in her 70s. She was paralyzed when she was 19. She's at the end of her journey. But I will tell you this. She's always wanted to get out of that wheelchair. But you know what she did? She served and honored the Lord with what she had, and she has glorified God greatly. Her ministry to women has impacted untold women and untold men. And you know what? It wouldn't surprise me that she'd still say, Lord, if you allow development, I would love to walk again. I had a quadriplegic work for me years ago, and every night he was lost. He called himself an atheist. Finally, I convinced him he wasn't an atheist. But he's the only guy ever that worked for me, and I would have a conversation with him, and I would say, hey, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He is what drives my life. If you never want me to talk about Jesus, just tell me. He's the only one that said, I don't want you to talk about Jesus. He and I talked hours and hours and hours, and he would ask the question. I said, now, Irwin, I said, you understand? He said, yeah, I want to talk about it. Well, every night, he'd go home, And you know how he was paralyzed? He went to Cincinnati Country Day. He was a senior in high school. He was in just a local stream, and he just dove in headfirst, standing in the water, dove in headfirst. His chin hit just right a sandbar. And probably when they drug him out of the water, they bruised his spinal cord enough that he was a quadriplegic ever since. And so every night he'd go home, they had a machine in his house, and it would exercise his limbs and his legs to try to keep the muscles from atrophying, from just basically disappearing off the bone. And I told him, I said, Erwin, I said, I want you to walk again. I said, but your issue is your sins. And to this day, I don't think he's saved. But he put his hope in the physical. There's only hope in Christ. I want you to know this. This is tough as you get older, as I get older. You know, I mean, how can I honor Christ when my body aches more? How can I honor Christ? I've asked him to give me my wits. That doesn't mean he has to. I want to live for him. I want to honor him. I want to serve him. But I want you to understand this. Everything is all about Christ. Easier preached than lived. I don't know what awaits us as we walk out these doors, but I do know this. I'm a child of God through faith in Christ, and it's all his work. I know this. All things will work together for good to those that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. I'll tell you this. While I have breath in me, I want to be a couch carrier. You want to be a couch carrier? You want to be one of the four? See, they didn't do it alone. See, we had three people in this. The man, incapable. The friends brought him to Jesus. And then Jesus, the only one that could take care of what he really needed. You see, when I look out here, if every one of us, if we just get excited about being couch carriers, who can I bring to Jesus? Who can I share Jesus Christ with? Some people won't like it, but I'll tell you this, some people will. Final story. You tell me if I tell too much stories of the stories, right? The mom of our Bible study on Friday night. We had previously had the Bible study scheduled and got the text, you know, can't do it this Friday, another Friday. And I sent that to Juan and Trish, and I didn't send them the next one. It was basically, don't call me, I'll call you. So I found a reason to get a hold of him. Here's what his wife told me. I won't name names, but she said, my husband, first time he canceled, zero reason. I'm glad he wasn't around. She said, he just didn't want you to come over. And she said this. She said, when I met you and Juan and Trish were with me, she said, I knew you were of God. You know this, that's only the Lord. I will tell you, get involved in his work. Carry a bed. Bring somebody to Jesus. Your life will never be the same. Do you think that the grandkids got tired of hearing about the couch that they carried and let down on the roof? Grandpa, you've told us that already. Well, I have dementia. Listen to it again. I want you to be involved in the couch carrying, in the bed carrying, and God will use you. Your confidence needs to be in Christ. Oh, lost person, you know who you are. Some don't, but there are people in our midst. You know you're lost. Do not let pride get in the way. Humble yourself today and believe on Christ, and he will change you. Then you can be a couch carrier for Jesus. Let's pray. Father, you are so good to us. I love these true stories, these true accounts. They're glorious. But Father, they are meant for us today. Oh, Father, I pray that we'll be a bed carrying, a couch carrying church.